Let me try and explain what we're going to be, as Hashem, trying to accomplish. And this follows. Every year during Chorus Ma, we try to choose a different Baal Machshava and to learn, I would say, sugyas in Machshava through the prism of that particular thinker. So we spent years learning Torah of the Ramban El Torah and the Chovas HaLevavos. We spent time, Rambam talked about the Perush HaMishnah. We spent time over the years learning the Chasim Sofer and the Ramchal and the Sfas Emes and the Netziv. We spent a lot of time trying to learn the Machshava, different Bali Machshava. The goal, not just to learn their Torah, but to understand it through the lens of other Bali Machshava as well. And certainly we spend so much of our week learning Gemara V'Iyan in the world of Halacha, broadly defined, that there's a lot of Toelos on Friday to tackle some major topics in the world of Jewish thought, some major topics in the world of Machshava. Who we choose to talk about impacts what we talk about. Different Bali Machshava speak about different topics. If you're learning Mesilas Yesharim, so you're going to speak about certain topics. If you're learning the Ramban and the Chasam Sofer, you learn other topics that different Bali Machshava talk about different things. So in that sense, we're speaking this year, we're going for something a little bit out of the box, I think. But I think it's very important. I want to speak about the Bali HaTosfos as Bali Machshava. What I want to try to do today a little bit is to introduce the Bali HaTosfos. People sometimes point out an interesting phenomenon, which is that when you learn a lot in yeshiva, so we learn a lot, we accomplish a lot. But sometimes, like the first 5% of what we maybe want to know, we speak less about. So we learn a lot of Tosfos. We're certainly intimately familiar with the style of Tosfos, a bit of what they do, of certain words that they use, of who they sort of are. But I want to try to give a hagdama to the Bali HaTosfos. Some of this is not going to be as relevant to them as Bali Machshava, the Tosfos in general. But then we'll be able to sort of like break down a little bit who they are and what exactly they do. We'll encounter, I think, some intriguing ideas. So let me begin like this. All the other Bali Machshava we've ever learned have been single individuals. If a person's learning the Ramban Al HaTorah, you're learning the works of the Ramban. And everything there you could assume is the Ramban. So it's true, as we referenced yesterday, he may have updated, changed, altered certain parts of his work. It's all Ramban. It's all Ramban. So even if he comes to Eretz Yisrael and he adds certain things, you're learning the Ramban. And that same thing is true for the Rambam or for Rabbi Levi. It's true for the Sfas Emes or for the Netziv. You're learning them. The Bali HaTosfos are a group of people. Over, I don't know, a century and a half or two, there was a school of thought. It comes really from the sons-in-law, really the grandchildren of Rashi. Really, Rabbeinu Tam, perhaps the most famous and impactful, along with the Ri. And they sort of come along, and they're a school of thought. They're based primarily in France, but we have a little bit, we have in Germany, we have Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, we have a little bit, it gets spread out in different directions. But the Bali HaTosfos are schools of thought. They are Batei Medrash that are coming together. In that sense, while there are individual Bali HaTosfos who are more famous, again, like Rabbeinu Tam or the Ri, like the Rashbam, as we will meet, if we were learning Baba Basra this year, or Pesachim this year, you can't escape the Rashbam. That the Rashbam, certain Perushim and Chumash we'll speak about a little bit later, that we have Bali individual ones, but as a whole, there's like Tosfos. There's Tosfos. And the Tosfos that we even have on our Gemara sometimes quote individual opinions, but often Tosfos is just Tosfos. There are obviously machloksim within the Bali HaTosfos. Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri don't always agree. They have different resolutions to questions. But as a whole, we could speak about the Bali HaTosfos. So again, there are chilukim between them. It's a lot of different people, maybe not hundreds, but tens of people who are part of the Bali HaTosfos. And they are certainly critical. How critical are they? So the world of our learning is so much based on Bali HaTosfos. It's impossible to be a person that sits in a yeshiva for a long time and thinks Tosfos don't have that much to say of relevance at all. They are printed on the page of our Gemara. That's prime real estate where the Bali HaTosfos end up being located. And it's not stam for like coincidental reasons that they have the status that they have. So much comes from the Bali HaTosfos. The Rivash, in a somewhat celebrated tshuva, talks about Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Tam's greatness. How before Rabbeinu Tam, there was a little bit written on the Gemara, primarily to explain Gemara, but comes along Rabbeinu Tam, Derav Gavrei, he's so powerful. Seems like Rabbeinu Tam is just greater than people that came before him. Again, the first in many ways of the great Bali HaTosfos, greater than the confirmation as far as his analysis and what he could do. The Rivash is a Rishon. He says, everyone that's learning today, kulam keklipos hashum uchagargir shum shum neged echa mitalmidiv haktanim. That everyone around nowadays is like the shell of garlic or like a sesame seed compared to Rabbeinu Tam's talmidim. Not even Tam, like talmidei Rabbeinu Tam. This is what they are. This is the Rivash. That's the Rivash. We therefore don't mess with Rabbeinu Tam that much. In the world of halacha and psak, Rabbeinu Tam, he's really, really excellent. He's really special. Rabbeinu Tam has a certain status. By the Chassidim, I think we understand that in the world of classic, like Litvish Torah, the world of Tosfos. We have Sfarim that are written to explain Gemara Rashi and Tosfos. The Pnei Yoshua and the Marsha are so much focused on Gemara Rashi and Tosfos. You have Chassidim with particular views. I think this is just to highlight like the godless of it, of the power of Tosfos. The power of Tosfos. The Sefer called Halichos Chaim discusses Chaim Sanza, Divrei Chaim. It comes from the word of Klosenberg, the Klosenberg Rebbe, that speak about the world of Tosfos. So they quote in Tshuva's Divrei Yitziv, the Tshuva's of Klosenberg Rebbe is talking, I believe, here about the Divrei Chaim. He says, Rabbeinu Kasa B'Tshuva. It comes from that world of sons. She'ikir darchei ha-chasidus. That the ikir chasidus, the ikir, what it means to be a chasid, eino tole klau b'nuschaos ha-tfila. Doesn't matter if you daven, it's like Ashkenaz, it's a svar, doesn't matter. That doesn't matter that much. Rach lehispalo b'kavanas ha-leif tehora. You have to daven with a lot of kavana. V'lilmo beiz dapim gemara rashi v'tovos kod matfila. V'zet tole ikir ha-chasidus. Ikir ha-chasidus is that to daven a lot of kavana. But before that, to learn every single day, to blot Gemara Rashi and Tosfos. Ad kedei kach, he quotes there in the footnote, the Klosenberg Rebbe said that there were certain tzaddikim, I believe from other places, that this is the Me'or V'Shemesh, that would only count people for a minyan. When they wanted to have a minyan to be able to daven, the Shiley said is, do I have 10 people here who have already learned today to blot Gemara Rashi and Tosfos? Otherwise, I'm not sure this is true. I mean, there seems to be something that Tosfos, not just intellectually in that scene, but there seems to be something about Tosfos for the Chassidim, which is like, this is the Pesach to it. They speak about how Chazal talk about how the Chassidim HaRishonim, in times of the Gemara, they would be Shoen Shah Achas Kodim HaTfila. They would, before an hour before davening, they would prepare, or a certain time period, they would prepare before davening. We don't know all the preparations of davening and Kavanah. So you know what we could do? We could learn Gemara Rashi and Tosfos. And that'll prepare us for the same way. To go one step further in an intriguing line, there's a line from the Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Jew of Pshischa. The Yid HaKadosh of Pshischa was from the Chos of Ublin. He broke off a little bit. A lot of the Chassidus that many of us are familiar with comes by way of Pshischa. So Ger Chassidus, the Sfas Emes, Chisharim, comes through him. The world of Amshanov, the world of Katsk, Reb Tzadok, all these things, Reb Sichah Banu Pshischa, a lot of these things come from Pshischa. The Yid HaKadosh of Pshischa used to say, here, it's in a sefer on the Yiddish. I was at home at the sefer. I don't know where it is. About the Yiddish Kaddish. I couldn't find it last night. I couldn't find it Otzer Chachma or anything else. I don't know. I think we have it in the Otzer. But this is quoted in the Shiur Mevaser Tov. The Mevaser Tov is Bialy Rebbe. Quotes this line from the Yiddish Kaddish that it's an amazing line. So Daf Gemara Rashi and Tosfos is Metayer Hamoach Kimo Mikvah. That it purifies a person's mind, just like a mikveh does. That's why they quote from the Yid HaKadosh that if a person's ever in a location where they can't go to mikveh Erev Shabbos, by Chassidim, it's a very big deal, go to mikveh Erev Shabbos. So what did you do, Nebuch? You can't go to mikveh Erev Shabbos. The answer is, open up a Daf Gemara and learn Gemara Rashi and Tosfos, and that's metaher kamo mikveh. And that has a certain kind of purification process. So the Bali HaTovs are held with this esteem by everyone. It's like no one's on the anti-Rashi team. You know, like there's always opposition. If you're a chassid, you look to the Gra in a complex way. If you're a Gra, you see them in a complex way. That there are those, there are big Rashi, Tosfos, some of these people are just, they're the foundation of everything. Their foundation is Tosfos. In that sense, Tosfos, it could be by Chassidim, certainly by Lamdanim, to enter into that world of Tosfos becomes so critical. And the way that people sort of speak about Tosfos, the way people speak about it, it's impossible to learn without Tosfos, becomes very important. What did Tosfos do? So let me begin with a fascinating phenomenon. You learn a lot about a person by what Sfarim he writes. You learn a lot about a person by what they write commentaries on. If you are, if I wanted to know about a particular person, I hear, oh, his Sefer, he wrote a commentary on the writings of Rav Kook, you could probably get a pretty good handle for that person and some of his like intellectual interests. If you find out that a person wrote a sefer on Chumash, al derech hapshat, so you understand a little bit about who that person is. The Geonim, in the time period of the Gaonim, they wrote very, very little as far as commentaries on Gemara goes. The Gaonim wrote Sifrei Halacha, the She'iltos. They wrote a lot of tshuvas. They were responding to people. We don't have from that time period the Gaonim. There's like Amoraim. After Amoraim, whoever the Saburaim are, I don't know, but that's like one of these like parentheses when you learn it in school, you know, like the Saburaim are there a little bit. Then there's like Gaonim, and then we go to Rishonim. And if our learning, Bederekla, when a person learns Gemara, that's very much Gemara and Rishonim. Well, we learn a lot of Gemara and Rishonim. What about the Gaonim? So the Gaonim didn't write that much on Gemara. Why didn't they write that much on Gemara? So here there are different theories that are out there. The Rambam says they were just too busy. Gaonim were these major communal leaders also. Gaonim are these people dealing with halacha and ma'isa shailas and tzarchei tzibor and major communal issues. They didn't have time to write on Gemara. Now, that in of itself tells you something, because they had time to answer shailas. They had time, those things were more pressing than writing on Gemara. The Meiri has a different pshat, which is just like, it's very demoralizing, at least in the way I relate to it, which is like, they just knew Gemara already. Like, there wasn't a need to write a parish on Gemara because, like, a lot of them, they may have spoken Aramaic a bit. Like, the whole, like, you're going through a Gata, you're like, what do those words mean? You have, like, your Talmud Obiyado next to you, I think that's what it's called, or your Jastro Gemara, or your Masifta, or your Art Scroll, or your recording of whoever it is that you listen to. So you have that next to you. Like, they just, imagine if it was written, like, Gemara was art, you know, it was written in English, and you're just, like, going by, and not, like, old school, like, Cincino English. If you ever used one of those, like, old translation Gemaras, I mean, like your English. It's just, like, written like that. So wouldn't that be amazing? Oh, there's no questions, no periods. We'd be able to adjust pretty well without the periods and questions if it was written in our language. So it was just easier. And they knew it. They knew it really, really well. They were totally familiar with it. There wasn't the need to write it. Okay, so there's some academics that add a bit of a pshat to that, which is not everyone knew it. Not everyone knew it. So there are those who suggest it's like the following, like, Miman of Shach. Talmidei Chachamim knew Gemara. They knew how to read it and translate it. The people that weren't Talmidei Chachamim didn't learn Gemara. It wasn't like nowadays where there's this like art scroll movement of people, like there's no like an old off app or whatever it happened to be. That wasn't existing the same way. You didn't learn Gemara, like you didn't learn Gemara. You didn't know anything. So the bigger issues you had as a community was like, can I do this or can I do that? There wasn't the same tzorech, there wasn't the same need to understand things. So they weren't writing on Gemara that much. But even the statement of the Meiri that it's ki'ilu, like they just knew it, implies that once they knew it, they didn't feel the need to have that much like internal analysis of Perushim. Come along the Bali HaTosfos. And Derech Agav, pre-Bali HaTosfos, we'll speak about this, people were osek in more sort of other things also besides just the world of Gemara. So there are works of philosophy, Reb Sadia Gaon, the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, they're doing a lot of different things. Come along the Bali HaTosfos, and the Bali HaTosfos appear to, in many ways, revolutionize the way you learn Gemara, because they're not translating Gemara for people that need help making their way through to understand it. The greatest to ever do that was Rashi. Rashi's there to help you be able to make your way through Gemara. Tosfos is not doing that. Tosfos is focusing on Gemara, but doing different things. Tosfos is focused on Gemara. We see in a Tosfos Maseches Sanhedrin. The Gemara talks about what it is to be Talmud Bavli. Why is Talmud Bavli called Talmud Bavli? The simple pshat, because it comes from Babylonia. It comes from Bavel. That's why it's called Talmud Bavli. That is, however, not the only pshat, because why is Bavel called Bavel? Why is it called that? Where did that name come from? It says the Gemara Sanhedrin, on Daf Chaf Dalet, my Bavel. Like, what is Bavel? Not where is Bavel, but what's the source of that word? Why does it come from? So, Amar Yochanan, it is Belula. Belula means to, it's mixed. Bimikra, Belula, Bimishnah, Belula, Bitalmud. It's a mixture of everything. There are psukim in there. There's Mishnah. Mishnah here means like simple, basic. Here's a dinim and the halacha. And there's Talmud, there's analysis. It's all in Talmud Bavli. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam writes, and the line is amazing. Peirush Rabbeinu Tam, Tovus Sanhedrin. Dibitalmud shelanu anu potrim atzmenu. Because we learn Gemara, we are putter from the Gemara and Kiddushin. The Gemara and Kiddushin says, divide your time into thirds, Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. No one does that. No one's doing that. We aren't doing that. Look at your Seder Hayom. It's not like morning Seder is Tanakh. Afternoon Seder is Mishnah, meaning like basic halacha. Night Seder is analysis. We don't do that at all. Adarabah, if you saw a yeshiva that was learning a full Seder of just Tanakh, So first of all, that yeshiva, I mean, there'd be recruiting challenges for that yeshiva. Everyone wants, people say, you know, it's like, I want a little bit of Tanakh, I want some Tanakh. But like, 3.5 hours, no one's doing that. It's very, very, it's not what we do. So why don't we do that? Instead of being a Tam, we learn Gemara Bavli. We learn Gemara Bavli. Bavli has in it everything. So the hyper-emphasis on Talmud Bavli is, it's not just like the Rabbeinu Tam is saying, this is what you can do. He's saying, this is what we do. It's a very Talmud Bavli kind of a focus. Okay, the people that point out that doesn't seem to work so well, Rav Tsuriel, who's an old mashgiach here in the yeshiva, one of his farim points out, quotes him, you know, it's like, if you learn the third parak of Baba Basra, and you learn it be'ian the way we learn be'ian, like, you really could go months without coming across a pasuk. Like, once you go for the first pasuk, like, you can go, like, months without coming across a pasuk. And it's not so clear how effective it is. Like, anyone have really good Tanakh knowledge only from, you know, only from Gemara? There are jokes about this a little bit. What's called, like, a Tzorva Mirabanan and Amaretz Doraisa. Like, you're very knowledgeable about, it's an old joke, like, what's the raya that Moshe and Aaron were brothers? Like, people like these jokes a little bit. Well, the Ksos quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra that they were krovim, and therefore they couldn't testify with each other. It must be, therefore, that they were, you know, that they were related. You know, like, things like that. Like, those kinds of, like, those kinds of things. Like, people have those kinds of jokes. Are they funny jokes? Again, maybe a little bit of, like, that was cute, you know? I don't know. I don't think I built it up either to be that funny. I mean, it isn't that funny. But I don't mean because it's tragic. That's not what I mean. I mean, like, it's just not that funny. But there's something to be said, you know, for this emphasis in the world of Talmud Bavli, So a lot of the Iker Bavli Atos, look, what they're doing is working in Talmud Bavli. What are they doing in Talmud Bavli? Something radically different than was done before them. More similar to what the Gemara itself does. They're doing something very, very different. Even the word Tosfos is a Hosafa in addition to what? Machlokas, Hosafa onto Rashi, or more likely Hosafa, or maybe as like, yeah, Hosafa on the Gemara. They're doing what the Gemara does. What's Tosfos doing? So if you look through Rashi, and this we sort of know, but I want to explain why this is important for us. If you look through Rashi explaining the Gemara in front of you. Tosfos is the one, and this is Rabbeinu Tam, who introduced in the, Pashtus introduced in a very powerful way, the world of dialectic, questions. How does it all fit together? Pre-Rabbeinu Tam, when you would learn Gemara, you would interpret the Gemara in front of you, like the way many of us learn Bikiyas. You'd interpret the Gemara in front of you, and then the next page. When it came to a Psak question, so even if there was a stira between Gemaras, so you would try, and many of the Rishonim did this, pre-Tobos, what would you say? It's a Machokas and Sugyas, and this is the main Gemara. Comes along the Bali HaTosfos, and it's not the only thing they do, but it's certainly the dominant, you know, Chiddush. What those does is, which is, how does this Gemara fit with that Gemara? How does this fit with that? That's the question, meaning to look at all of Torah as one, of Torah, which is, as the Tosefta says, in Inyan Echad. It's all integrated. It's all one idea. The way the Yamshel Shlomo refers to it, it's like a nice analogy, the Marshal and his Hagdama to, I think both Baba Kama and Chulin. I think the Marshal has this, the Marshal, sorry, has this line. The Bali HaTosfos was, they took Gemara, Sha'asu Oso Kikadur Echad. They made it like one ball. It's like everything has to be like looked at, you know, the whole time. It's always there, how everything fits together. The way they answer questions is by, this Gemara is referring to that, and this Gemara is referring to that. They introduce ideas to understand that Gemaras are not arguing with each other, but rather, they're different perspectives. This Gemara is referring to this kind of a case or that kind of a case. This Gemara is referring to this. All the Gemara is true. Let's see how we can fit it all together. That's why, like, I don't know, if I feel like if I'm giving a shir, and I ask a kasha between Gemaras, the worst answer, the answer which no one wants to hear is, machlokas hasugyas. Stira and Gemaras. And this is like, you're primed a little bit for that world of Bali HaTosfos to try to fit it all together. The Tosfos that we have, Rabbi Leibowitz, it's comical if you think. Rabbi Leibowitz is like, this is what he does. I mean, as far as what he's wildly qualified to talk about. But since I read an article of his this morning, I feel more qualified to go there a little bit. What they do is like this. There were these like almost like three stages of what you have in the Tosfos in front of us. Number one is the Tosfos in front of us is a lot of chidushim. Rabbeinu Tam was a huge Baal Mechadesh. The Ri was a Baal Mechadesh. They're chidushim. And they don't always agree. There are multiple answers in Tosfos sometimes. There are machloksim in Tosfos. We have the Tosfos on our page, but there are other Baal HaTosfos also, and they may argue and have different opinions. They're dealing with similar kinds of issues, but there are differences that are going to take place. What makes Baalei HaTorah fascinating was a lot of Mefarshim only talk about their own question and their own answer. A lot of the Baalei HaTorah viewed themselves as part of a world. So when the Ri, as an example, it seems like when the Ri would give shir, I don't know about you, I'm always fascinated by these questions, like what would they do? Like how did they give shir? Like with Kivi Eger and Chasam Sofer, I think when they would give shir, would read the Gemara as if they had never seen it before. So they would be making like basic grammatical errors when they were reading the Gemara in front of their shir, because they wanted to show their shir like how they would go through that process. So they would like make mistakes and only then get pshat. You know, Chasam Sofer, I think, began every day of his shir learning Chovas Halavavos. I always find that intriguing, because I remember someone once like going off on how like in serious yeshivas, like you never like begin your day learning like Musar or Machshava. You begin your day just with Gemara. And it's like, I think Pressburg was a serious place by the Chasam Sofer. Like, he was a serious guy. Maram Shik was, like, real, you know? Like, they began with a little bit of Chovas Halavavos, you know, in the beginning. Like, it was good enough for them. We don't have a huddle in the morning? Okay, because we're serious. But there's a, you know, like, the way they get, so the Re would give Shir, he'd be asking his questions. He would talk about, what did the other people say? What did Rabbeinu Tam say, his uncle? What did this person say? And then Baalei would do the, you know, what did the, and then they would give their own answers also. They didn't all know each other's answers because they're spread out. A lot of them are in France, but some of them are in Germany. So they didn't always know, have access to everything. But they would sort of take everyone else's and sort of like combine it in many ways. Once they had their own chidushim, combined, integrated with others, became like the editing stage. You would have Talmid Baalei HaTorah that would sort of like put it all together. The most, I guess, important, or the most of our Tosfos and Inshas come from, anybody believe it's people here, come from? Tosfos Tach, very good. Most of them come from the Tosfos Tach, which was he was one of the later Baalei HaTorah that put it all together. Rabbi Professor Ephraim Kantorfogel, who's a professor in YU, one of the great experts in Baalei HaTorah, pointed out, this is why one of the hardest things in Tosfos, which is not true when you read a Rambam, is how point A connects to point B. If you read like a Rashba, like a Ritva, like point A and point B seem to like, I don't know, they seem to flow pretty much, because they're all written by the same person, so it sort of flows a little bit. The Baalei HaTorah in our daf were sometimes like combinations of different things. So you're like, wait, how does this fit with that? And the Marsha often explains like how it fits with that, because when you're taking collections of different people and putting it together, and it's not always clear one set to the next, it becomes harder to figure that out. That's why if you can learn Tosfos, you can learn Kemat anything. Because if you can learn a Tosfos, where we know the footnote are there, and the Tosfos, it's harder to sort of unpackage those things, then you're good to go. That's also why we're learning Tosfos. If I get stuck in a Tosfos, if I look at some of the other Baalei HaTosfos that maybe were not combinations the same way, sometimes what I'll find is a much clearer sort of an answer. I'll find in a Tosfos Shantz, or in a Tosfos Rush, or in a Tosfos Ben Peretz, they'll like say things to help clarify a little bit. Sometimes there are nuanced differences. They learned it a little bit different here, a little bit different there. And sometimes they just like explain to you like how it flows a little bit. Those other Baalei HaTosfos can be very helpful sort of resources sometimes in understanding it. But that's the world of Baalei HaTosfos. Now we shift a little bit to Baalei HaTosfos as Baalei Machshava. I remember learning in the YU Beis Medrash when they were moving to a new Beis Medrash, the Gluck Beis Medrash they're moving into. I like Sfarim a lot. So I was with two other people somehow involved in, maybe more than two other people, in categorizing Sfarim and figuring out like where they go. Many people sort of have this, I have this like even here, like if you look at different sections in the area, you know, this is more like, you know, Rishonim, and that's more, you know, Machshava, and that's more Halacha, and that's Anchumish, and that's Chassid. There's different things that you have in different kinds of places. Many people like to categorize Sfarim. The Sefer is a Sefer of Machshava, the Sefer is a Sefer of Psak Halacha, the Sefer is a Sefer of Lamdas, the Sefer is a Sefer on Chumash. Different Sfarim we like to categorize. So as an example, most of us would categorize Mesilas Yesharim as a Sefer of Musar. Most of us would categorize a Reb Chaim as a Sefer of Lamdas. Most of us would categorize Igros Moshe as a Sefer of Psak Halacha. There wouldn't be that many things. Sometimes, or more often than not, it's a little bit trickier than we think to categorize people. Rav Moshe has no lamdas, you know, for real. The Ktzos is a sefer on Chosha Mishpat. It's a halacha sefer, it's a lamda sefer. The tshuvas of Ravitcha Meyer Morgenstern. Those are tshuvas of halacha. I mean, I guess so, but they're also 70, 90% of it is Kabbalah about what do you wear tails and not wear tails. Like, What are these things? How do I know to categorize it? And some Sfarim, it's really hard to pin down. What are the Bali HaTosfos? So this is actually pretty fascinating. Bali HaTosfos and Shas. So what really are they? So it's clear they are, I don't even know what they are. Number one, is it a Sefer of Psak, the Bali HaTosfos? It's a great Shaila. The Rivash seem to think, like, of course they are. And a lot of our practice is based on things that Bali HaTosfos wrote. But Yitzchak Yosef has a Sefer of, like, Klali HaPsak. He quotes a bunch of Achronim, a bunch of even, maybe even some later Rishonim, who argue, like, no, you can't always treat Tovas as a Psak because maybe they are a... They're explaining Gemaras. Do they mean to Paskin based on all of that? They're explaining Gemaras. And Adarab, a lot of the Bali HaTosfos, at least in France, like, they weren't writing Sifrei Halacha the same way. They were writing on Gemara. Like, are they really post-Gim? So, like, yeah, but maybe not. It's a bit of a discussion. The Shid Mekubetz and Ksubis writes, Lav Dafka, they're always really post-Gim the same way. But, of course, Bali HaTosfos, we Paskin a lot of time like Tovas. Hard to figure out a little bit, you know, what they are. Are the Bali HaTosfos philosophers? So that seems to be no. There's not a lot of philosophy going on by the Bali HaTosfos at all. But if they're not, are they just commentaries on Gemara? Is that all that they are? Are they Bali Machshava? Do they comment on issues of Jewish thought? How you define what's called Machshava and what's not is not so clear always. It's one of these things, like the Supreme Court once said about a very, very different context, Lahavdil. I can't always define it, but I know it when I see it. There's those that got that reference, you know. Apologize. But there's, you know, it's like lum disos, like what is, what's not. It's hard to say sometimes, you know, what these things actually are. But is it machshav, Jewish thought? Are they bali machshava the same way? As an example, no one debates that the sefer, let's say Kuzari, is a sefer of machshava. And he talks about things from a particular angle. When you speak about Eretz Yisrael, you speak about Eretz Yisrael as far as the halachas of Eretz Yisrael, the lum disos of Eretz Yisrael, in the world of machshava. Orot. When I'm cook, write sometimes, or you know, Eretz Yisrael, it's from a machshava perspective. He's writing about it from a machshava perspective. When topics like hashgacha pratis, topics like why do bad things happen to good people, topics like inyani emuna, topics like certain questions of identity, we'll speak about. You know, there are certain kinds of questions that don't seem to be narrow halacha. They seem to be more machshava based. I think for most of us, I give you a list of 15 topics, and you have to say, is this halacha or is this machshava? We'd be able to, you know, migo, halacha, you know, like Adam Zoman, halacha, you know, I'll say, Eishi Lechal Azima, halacha. So there, it's not always so clear. There are some sort of up in the air, and sometimes, you know, one impacts the other in different ways, but there seems to be a difference between them. So are the Bali HaTosfos Bali machshava? So I asked a question to Rabbi Leibowitz. I think I said this to you. I asked a question to Rabbi Leibowitz. Are the Bali HaTosfos, you know, can I pull this off on Fridays? Can I pull this off? So he said his original topic of his dissertation was going to be the Bali HaTosfos as Bali Machshava. That'd be merging, I think, two intense loves of his. He loves the world of Machshava, hence works like the Neshama and Halachah Pratis, etc. He seems to like Bali HaTosfos because he has published a lot and enjoys the Bali HaTosfos a lot in the worlds that we've shown him. So mixing those would be like, you know, amazing. But he ended up not doing that. So we're going to try to discover, did he not do that for technical reasons or because it's impossible? So we're going to give our best shot at trying to figure this out. Had he written that topic, certainly the shiurim would be significantly easier to give because I would just totally steal it from his, I would attribute it, you know, but I would just totally use him. And unfortunately, we're on our own a little bit. But let's talk, are they Bali Machshava? So the answer is, I think, we're going to argue yes, but yes and no. Yes and no. Let me try to explain what I mean. The Bali HaTosfos, number one, are at their core, they explain Gemaras. And they explain Gemaras that are stiras between each other. Stiras between each other. A lot of what they're not only, obviously, with Bali HaTosfos, Gemara, Chak Vataria, but they explain stiras between Gemaras. Okay. Now, Gemara itself is a work that has halacha and agada. Halacha and agada. Now, generally speaking, as I think we know, when you get up to a daf and there's not a lot of tosfos, typically it's a sign that it's halacha. That's agadata coming up. Tosfos definitely speak less about agadata than they do the world of halacha. I think that's true. As an example, Shabbos Lamed Amabed, which is agadata, does not have any tosfos on it. You know, any tosfos on it at all. That's something which is missing from there. On the other hand, we do have a lot of Balei Tosfos that relate to Agadata also. The world of Agadata has massive implications for the world of Machshava. So there are things that Balei Tosfos say that are works that explain and shed light on very fundamental topics. I'll give you one example that please God will speak about, the topic of Lo Bashamayim Hi. What role does Hashem play in Torah once we got it? What role can Abasko play? What role can Ruach HaKodesh play? What role can Nevuah play? Once we got Torah, so how much is it really ours? How much does Hashem still play a role? Is that a Machshava question or a Halacha question? It's a little bit of everything, that particular question. But the Baal HaTos speak about that. They speak about that and have opinions about that. It sheds light on some very, very important kinds of topics. They also, even though they focused more on Gemara, they do have other things, as Professor Kanner-Fogel pointed out. They seem to have some real knowledge and relating to the world of Sod. There seems to be some Kabbalah that goes on by some of the Baal HaTosfos. They also wrote Pirushim and Chumash. The Rashbam, for sure, Pirushim and Chumash. Just like when you write a Pirush on Gemara, you have to relate to some Machshav, even if it's not your Iker, because I'm writing on Gemara, and I'm relating some of these things also. When you're writing a commentary on Chumash, so when I write on Sefer Bereishis, or I'm not focusing only on halacha, I'm focusing on, let's say for them, some of them, the Rashbam, on Pshat and Chumash. But sometimes, my interpretations of Pshat have to talk about topics that are machshavadik topics. Topics that are going to be important for the world of machshava. Some of the Balei HaTosfos, even, we have a couple works like of machshava, the Balei HaTosfos. So the one that I'm familiar with off the top of my head, and again, I believe it's said to me that there are like manuscripts with more. But one work is a work written by Rav Moshe Taku. Rav Moshe Taku was one of the Balei HaTosfos, who wrote a sefer called Ksav Tamim. That's one of the works that he wrote. What does it have to do with? A major question in Rishonim: does God have a body or not? The Rambam holds that it is one of the Yugilmi Karim, the God of the body. The Ravid, not so convinced. Ramosh Taku has a very unique kind of opinion. It's a work of Machshava. But the Balei HaTosfos are not really philosophers the same way. They're not philosophers the same way. But they are in many ways massively sort of chashuv in the way that they talk about certain Machshava topics, which are going to be able to emerge. So while they definitely, I would say, radically impact the world of halacha, their role in machshava is significant. I even, like, when I was trying to see if I could pull up the shiurim, so I went online and like searched in certain like machshava svarim, you know, in like pure machshava svarim, how often they quote Tosfos, and the answer is like fairly often. One of the challenges is that, you know, it's like people use Tosfos and have so many different mahalchim in Tosfos, and Tosfos becomes so critical that it, we have to like view it in terms of like what do we see from the world of Tosfos, and not only from the Balei HaTosfos on our da, but from the other Balei HaTosfos that were all writing about things. So it's a lot of important topics, a lot of important sugyas that are going to come up. And in that way, you know, there's this line that Professor Chaim Salvechik has, and maybe we'll as chazer and even sort of end with that line, because I think it's an absolutely fascinating one. Happens to be, I was like triggered also. Rav Cook writes in a letter in describing yeshivas that it'd be great in a yeshiva if we brought in machshava aside from just like, because yeshivas all do Gemara Shetosvos, it'd be great if we brought in like other svarim for machshava. So I was always wondering, like, could you make the argument that, like, you already have some machshava just by learning enough Gemara Rashi and Tosfos? But either way, Chazar, and I'll share with you a line from Professor Chaim Salvechik, which I think is intriguing, which is like this. We spoke a little bit about the world of Tosfos. The Rivash writes, Balei HaTosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, his Talmidim were so great, we're like nothing compared to him. Alachas Kam V'Kama, you know, that's what we're gonna be. Impacts the world of Halacha and the world of Psak. Discussions how much a Posek should be Betzas or Yitzhak Yosef, downplaying Tosfos as a Psak. Tosfos, you shouldn't Paskin like over some of the more standard Poskim. On the other hand, the Rivash and many others, certainly in Ashkenaz, in the world of Ashkenazim, often Paskin like Tosfos, influences the world of Halacha in very, very real ways. So many Shailim by Tosfos. Tosfos focused on Gemara. that was unlike the Gaonim. It's unlike, you know, many that wrote sort of separate works. Baal HaTov was focused on Gemara and Gemara and Gemara intensely. Derech Agav, you find a similar phenomenon, potentially, in the world of Brisk. Brisk focuses so much on Talmud Bavli and Rambam, because they were also like a new style of learning, like focusing so much on Gemara, that there's less from the world of Brisk, let's say on Yerushalmi, less from the world of Brisk on other kinds of Sfarim. You know, it's very focused, a lot on Gemara, unlike the Gaonim. A lot of the reason why it's on Gemara isn't because we couldn't understand it. That Rashi helped with. The reason why it was on Gemara was because to compare and analyze this Gemara versus that Gemara became so critical, and over time, they developed a variety of ideas. The Baal HaTovah's goal was not to be a Baal Machshava. They didn't sit down the way Yehuda Levi sat down. They didn't sit down the way the Ramchal sat down. But they sat down to explain Gemara, and along that way, and explain Chumash. And once in a while, to have a separate work on this topic. But so much of what they say has massive implications. They do comment on Agadatas, and they do comment on Halachic Sugyas in ways that impact the world of Jewish thought, not just the narrow topics, not just the narrow world of Halacha. They certainly are there also. Rosh Chaim Soloveitchik once said, he said, you know, there were scholars that claimed that all of philosophy are really just like footnotes to Plato. That Plato introduced a lot, and everyone else was like a footnote to Plato. So, much more true than that, he pointed out. So much of the world of halacha are footnotes to Tosfos. That Tosfos is like so much of the ikker, so many shiurim, that the basis is Tosfos. The basis is. There are other Rishonim and other this and other that, but it all comes back to ideas that emerge from Tosfos. That is not true in the world of Machshava. No one would claim the world of Machshava are all footnotes to the Baal HaTosfos. No one's claiming that. Baal Machshava is very spread out and a huge range. But there are so many, I would say, fundamental topics of Jewish thought, fundamental ideas that are relevant to the way that Torah works, the way the world works, that Tosfos relates to in the world of Machshava. And our goal, Be'ezer Hashem, over the course of this Chorev Zman, is going to be to understand that and explore some of these topics through the lens of, and in other ways, the world of Baalei HaTosfos. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a wonderful rest of your day.